Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Monday morning, the final Monday of 2024, as Christina told us, and also the second to last day, the penultimate day of 2024. And I don't know what you're expecting 2025 to bring, but I can tell you that I'm excited for the slate of movies that are coming up. I went to the movies on Friday night a second time. Well, I went to see Nosferatu a second time. A friend of mine wanted to go. And she said, and by the way, we'll talk about more important things. A couple of key passings. Of course, the passing of former President Jimmy Carter at 100. Locally here, the passing of Ruth the Elephant. And also, not to be overshadowed by the Jimmy Carter news, but the passing of actress Linda Lavin, best known for her role on Alice, if you want to call and remember her in that program. But I went to the movies on Friday to see Nosferatu with my friend, who is a cosplayer and has a wide variety of different outfits and all that kind of stuff. And she said, I'm going to dress up in a Victorian dress. Even though the movie takes place in 1838 Germany, you know, she's like, I'm going to wear this Victorian dress, which still fits perfectly. Like, she looked great. And I was like, wow, I don't have anything to wear. And by the way, she was dressing up because a friend of hers was there dressed as Nosferatu, dressed as Count Orlok to take photos with people. So she wanted to take a photo with him. And so she was like, well, I want you to be in the photo and, you know, wear something if you have it. I was like, well, I don't have anything like that. And even if I did, I'm not sure that I'm the kind of person that would do that. But I decided, just on a whim, I went to Savers, and just patrolling the aisles and looking to see what I could find, I found like a peasant shirt, you know, like the kind of shirt that has the high collar and the buttons and everything, white, kind of puffy. And I was like, well, that's the kind of shirt they might wear. And then I found a velvet or velour sport coat. And I was like, well, that's something they would probably wear. And then I just found a pair of black dress pants that fit me perfectly, like the perfect length, perfect waist. I was like, well, this is fortuitous. So and then I went home and I had a black vest because I went to the Joseph Aboud sale that they had back in November, I think it was, October, November, and I bought myself a three-piece suit. Still going to get it tailored, but I bought a three-piece suit that was a $1,200 suit that I got for like $120. So I took the vest from that and put that underneath the velvet jacket, and I looked pretty Victorian. I was like, well, this works. It's good enough. And I got a lot of positive reaction from people. So I don't know that I'll be a cosplayer, But at least now when I do, you know, Victorian seance events and things like that, I can actually dress the part now. But obviously, I enjoyed the movie if I went back and saw it a second time. And I might go see it a third time because I have another friend that wants to go. And I have the movie membership, so I might as well. But it really was a great take. And I hadn't seen it in forever. I watched the 1979 Nosferatu over the weekend as well. And that movie is just not good. It doesn't compare. All the shots are way too long. It's a, you know, it's a Werner Herzog movie, so it's just as much about the art as it is about the plot, but it's just the shots go on too long. I thought that the Robert Eggers version was much more interesting. But we're dealing with some pretty rough news this morning. Of course, I don't think the passing of either was a surprise because both were in hospice care. Both Jimmy Carter and Ruth the Elephant were in hospice care. Jimmy Carter for over a year and Ruth since the summer. So we were kind of preparing ourselves mentally for their passing. And we can certainly take your memories of either one at 508-996-0500. As I was saying in the last hour, and as you've been hearing at all these tributes that you hear on the news and pretty much universally accepted that Jimmy Carter, not one of the best presidents, probably one of the worst presidents, but probably the best former president because he utilized the visibility and the access that that office had granted him as a former president to push forward his humanitarian agenda. And I think it's unfair to really dump on Jimmy Carter. I didn't live through that era. I was born in 78, so, you know, I was just a baby when he was defeated by Ronald Reagan. But I was always kind of told growing up and learned in history class and all of that, that he was in a can't-win situation in that time. And I think you're going to see a lot of people in the future, you're going to see a lot of comparison to Joe Biden, from Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. That you were handed a situation that it was a difficult thing to come back from. And I think Jimmy Carter had way worse to deal with. I mean, granted, Joe Biden had to deal with the results of a global pandemic, but you had tumultuous government for a decade prior to Jimmy Carter. And so we didn't know it was tumultuous that whole time, but once all the information came out about Richard Nixon and the way he ran things, but you had people that were untrusting of the, well, I guess you had that too in 2020. So maybe there is a lot of similarities. The only difference is Joe Biden's not going to have enough life left just because of his age to be able to make the former presidential impact. And I think he's just going to go kind of ride off into the sunset, hang out in Delaware, and then, you know, drive his Corvette and live out his days. But I think you will get universal agreement from even people who didn't like Jimmy Carter as a president, didn't vote for him. But you'll get universal agreement that he was a wonderful person who made an impact on a humanitarian level. 508-996-0500. Another thing that I want to discuss this morning, and if you go to newbedfordlight.org, they've got the story this morning. Well, as they're looking back at 2024, they're giving you an unbiased, unvarnished view. And a lot of people have accused New Bedford Light here on the radio of pushing a pro-wind agenda, pro-offshore wind agenda. But if you've been reading some of the coverage that they've had lately, they have been covering all of the failures and all of the missteps just as in depth, if not more, than they have the successes. And so the article today is 2024 in review, major milestones and epic failures mark offshore wind industry. And I think that's going to be a harbinger of the stories that are coming. The wind industry is not going away. And as with anything, there's going to be missteps, there's going to be miscues, there's going to be things that are tried and failed, and there's going to be things that have to be learned. So the people who are taking a victory lap because, you know, blades are breaking and there's issues and businesses are deciding to pull out of it and all of that, it's not going away. This is part of what comes about when there is a new industry. When automobiles started, not every automobile was a winner. In fact, look at the Edsel, right? You're already 50 years into automobiles when that failure came along. Look at New Coke. Coca-Cola had been around for 100 years when that came out. And they took a misstep. So there's things that will happen along the way. It doesn't mean that the industry or that the theory behind it is flawed. It just means that the execution by a particular company or manufacturer is flawed. So offshore wind is not going away. But you can take a look at that story at newbedfordlight.org and see some of the wins and losses, the pluses and minuses of how 2024 shook out in the offshore wind industry. And then the Standard Times has a very interesting piece today as well. This meeting took place back on December 19th, and I don't ask me why. When your reporter covers a meeting on December 19th, the article gets published on December 30th. What the hell is happening to that newspaper? And what are you doing to the great journalists that are still left over there? That's not even a weekly newspaper would have had the story out faster. Now, I don't know when it ran in the print edition, but you would think that as soon as the story was done, it would be in online. And I don't know if Frank Mulligan's listening. Maybe this was a story that took more legwork after the meeting itself. I don't know. But anyway, there was a public meeting on December 19th for MassDOT to unveil the plans for the New Bedford-Fairhaven bridge replacement. And as you know, it's a vertical lift bridge. It's going to have two towers that I believe are 190 feet each. And the bridge section is going to be able to raise to two different heights depending on the size of the vessel coming through. It's going to widen the channel. I think now it's like 93 and 92 feet on either side of the stanchion in the middle. And this is going to give a width now of 260 feet across, I believe. So you're talking about wider and taller ships being able to come through. And also much less time for vehicles sitting there waiting. And also, you're dealing with something that will be, you know, able to last the next century, hopefully. So the vertical lift bridge, as I've been saying, is if you're looking for something similar, you can look at the Four River Bridge in Quincy. And there's another one, Chelsea, I think. There's another one that's not that far from Logan Airport. I'm not exactly sure what that bridge is. But there's two vertical lift bridges, you know, in the immediate area of Boston that are similar to what this bridge is going to be. And I've crossed those bridges. I've been at those bridges when they've had to lift, and it's quick and painless, and it takes about as much time as, you know, it's less time than it even takes the bridge to swing out halfway. That's how quickly these things can go up and down. But they also shared at this meeting some of the preliminary designs of what it will look like. And so they had renderings of what it'll look like in the New Bedford skyline. So if you're, they have what looks like from the bottom of Union Street or on Route 18, looking across, seeing the bridge in the background. Another one from the waterfront, kind of looking and seeing the bridge in the background. Another one from the water, seeing what the bridge will look like. Another one from, I'm not sure which lot that is, but a parking lot looking out. One coming from, you know, Fish Island, heading in that direction. You can see these renderings in the story at southcoasttoday.com. And it's just a typical bare bones vertical lift bridge. Two towers and a middle section. It's if you said to a child, draw a bridge, and if they knew what a vertical lift bridge was, you said, draw a vertical lift bridge, this is what it would look like. It's like something you would construct out of, you know, Tinker Toys. It's just the beams, the towers, it's just what's necessary. There's no aesthetics to it. And in this story, Mayor Mitchell says that the bridge design has a long way to go. And I'm going to give you his quote. This is the comment that he gave to the Standard Times. The New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge is an architectural landmark, and it was designed 120 years ago with a level of thought and care that respected future generations of greater New Bedford residents. Although the bridge must now be replaced, the new bridge likewise must reflect a high level of design. We want the new bridge to be a source of pride for the region's residents and for visitors to look at the bridge and recognize that greater New Bedford is a region that takes pride in itself. Today's residents, along with their children and grandchildren, deserve a bridge whose design signals to everyone that our region is an important place. The images recently shared by state officials reveal that the bridge's design still has a long way to go. Recently, I spoke to State Transportation Secretary Monica Tibbetts-Nutt about the importance of the bridge appearance. I am grateful that she is equally committed to building a bridge whose design meets our region's high standards. So if you remember, when MassDOT had the plan in place for the pedestrian bridge over Route 18, they wanted to roll out a very rudimentary, very bare bones, very similar to the bridge that's already there kind of bridge. And that was going to be an $8 million job. And Mayor Mitchell pushed back and fought back on that design and had conversations with MassDOT and was unrelenting in his feeling that that's not good enough. That if this is going to be what people see as they're entering into the downtown area and entering into the pier and the waterfront, this needs to be something that can become a symbol. And so the bridge went from an $8 million bridge to a $20 million bridge. And now you see what has been built now. And it's an impressive structure. It's an eye-catching structure. And when all is said and done and it's lit up and it has the LED lighting on it, it's going to look really impressive. And so he was right to push back on that. And I think he's right to push back on this bridge. If you're already in for replacing the bridge, do it right. Now, will the design that MassDOT is proposing be an improvement? Absolutely. But is it the best that they can offer? I think Mayor Mitchell is going to push until we find that out. Now, I suppose I will ask him this next time that he's in. If not, I'll send an email over to his office to find out more. But I'd be interested to know if the mayor has seen any other designs that he would like this to be similar to. Because as I've said, the vertical lift bridges that I've seen in Massachusetts, what MassDOT builds, look just like this. So maybe there's one that I'm not aware of that's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, or maybe there's one somewhere else in the country that he's seen that he says this is more like what we would have in mind. But if this bridge that they're building becomes if this bridge that they're proposing becomes the bridge, I don't think anybody's going to be overly upset about it. They're just going to be happy to have a faster wait time and less openings. But if it can be better, and as we know, you know, MassDOT's going to go for the more affordable option every time unless you push back. And they made New Bedford wait long enough for this bridge that it's worth a little pushback. 508-996-0500. Going to take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back. And I don't know who's going to drive you home tonight, but you better make sure that you have somebody ready to drive you home tomorrow night, unless you're the designated driver. And I'm interested in finding out what people's New Year's Eve plans are. What do you do on New Year's Eve? Are you like me? Do you hunker down at home and just stay in and enjoy the night? Or do you want to go out and party? I've never been a go out and party kind of person. First of all, if I was going to go out and party, I would either need a ride or I'd take an Uber. And the Uber ride will probably cost you more money than you'll spend all night on drinks on New Year's Eve. So let's just keep that in mind, that if that's your plan, it's going to be an expensive plan. But if you've got somebody that's, you know, your designated driver and that allows you to be able to go out and party, then, you know, more power to you. It's not my thing. I'll stay home. I'll, you know, maybe have a drink or two at home. And then I'll fall asleep probably before midnight. And I'll make a marathon for myself of whatever it is that I want to watch. Maybe I'll watch the movies. Maybe I'll binge watch a TV show. Maybe I'll throw on Three Stooges Plus on YouTube and just make my own Three Stooges marathon. I don't know yet. I'll probably get some snacky foods. Maybe some buffalo wings. See, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to eat it all, so I'll just end up picking at it for days afterwards. Or bringing it in here and saying, hey, everybody, there's stuff in the fridge. But it's still, it's part of the tradition. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Is this me?
Only you know for sure, but it sounds like you.
Okay. Hey, it's me. So who is this? This isn't, because I missed Phil. And I'm just new to the program again.
Well, I'm Tim. I've been here for about a year and a half in the morning.
All right. You're a newbie then. Okay, rookie. I'm just calling it. It's a beautiful Christmas. There's not too much going on, you know. Crime-wise, it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a complaint, I'd like to say.
Okay.
The Standard Times. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you get my reverb, because I'll come on the radio in a little while. The Standard Times. They charge you for a seven-day week. 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And delivery, because I'm old, disabled. How come they don't have Saturday delivery, but they charge you for 7 days a week?
Yeah, they don't print a paper anymore on that day, yeah.
So why do they charge us one day that there's no print? I can understand somebody's going to clean the factory and stuff, but don't you?
No, that's not why. They realized that the sales were so low on that day that it wasn't worth printing a paper anymore. But yeah, they're charging you for, so you're saying your subscription price didn't go down when they decided to take away a day's paper?
No, I just got it from my father again because what it was, it got too high. We weren't getting the paper because I don't know who delivers it. Like right now, it's not a bad person. I'm happy with them. I don't care about your tattoos and your loud mufflers, the smell of marijuana. As long as my paper's delivered, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We live in the state of, you know? So
right.
No, I'm not going to get on the radio for this because I'm saying too bad about.
Oh, you're already on the radio. You're on the air now, yeah.
See, I thought there was a reverb.
There's a delay. Yeah, there's a little delay.
But there is a delay. But anyway, I'm just saying, God bless everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to get through. And
well, let's hope we all get through this next year, all together and better off on the other side of it.
All right. And one more thing.
Yes.
I don't want to slam the Standard Times, but hey, it's 3:50. I can barely start a wood stove fire with the paper that gets delivered.
Yeah.
And I'm paying $95 a month.
Well, I know you said that you're disabled, so you need to have delivery, but if you could get out to a Dollar Tree, Dollar Tree does have a set number of papers every day for $1.25. The same paper.
Yeah, but I can't be going.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can barely get out of bed, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, but yeah, but I mean that is one alternative, but yeah, other than that, you're paying a ridiculous price for barely anything worth reading.
Right. It's not even, and usually I listen like on your pro on 1420,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear that paper verbatim.
I mean, they've only got a couple of local stories every day. The rest of it is just all filler from the USA Today network.
Right. All right. Well, I got to let you go because my Beaver Cleaver's coming on.
All right. Well, you say hi to Wally and the Beeve and Eddie Haskell and everybody for me.
Hey, I will.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
Right, love you, too. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And that's a fair point, though, for, the Standard Time stopped publishing on Saturday. They've pulled back on some of the holiday papers, yet they're charging more money than they ever have. And they're giving you less paper. They're giving you, and I mean less, coverage in the newspaper, but also less paper, less pages, and less quality pages. Like just the physical quality of the paper they're printing on now. So what are you really paying for? And again, I'm not bitter about my time at the Standard Times. I spent 20 years working there. More than that. And I'm not bitter about it. I love everybody that I worked with and I love the people that are still there. But I can't not be critical of something that I think needs the criticism. And I think what you're seeing is a slow death of a once great newspaper. And I'm not talking once great newspaper like in the Basil Brewer heyday. I'm talking about like 10 years ago when we were winning awards constantly in our class for our news coverage, our sports coverage, for our layout and design, for things that we were doing there that you would only find at big city papers. But we had the talent that was able to do it. We had people like Mick Collagio, one of the most respected hockey writers in the country, covering the Bruins in the NHL. We had John Kuchar, who has gone on to work for both the Herald and the Globe, covering the Red Sox. We had John Comey covering the NFL writing about the Patriots, running the sports department. We had Laurie Loss, who's still there, and nobody has ever cared more about high school sports than Laurie. I would dare say she loves it more than Buddy Thomas, who we also had. And if Laurie was number one in caring, Buddy was 1A. And that was just the sports desk. That's not to mention the fantastic writers everywhere else. Matt Apuzzo, who went on to win a Pulitzer Prize. We had great writers, great reporters, great editors, great layout and design people. We were the first newspaper in Massachusetts to go online. I mean, it was a place where we innovated. And what happened? When Gannett came in and became the most recent owner, all of those great page designers, we don't need you to do that anymore. We got people in Texas that are going to do that. Oh, all you great people over there that have been working at the printing press for, yeah, we're going to shut that down. We're going to print it in Hyannis. Oh, now we're going to shut Hyannis down. We're going to print it in Providence. And now coming in 2025, we're going to shut Providence down. We're going to print it in New Jersey. So your newspaper that you're getting, that you're paying more money than you've ever paid for, is going to be printed in New Jersey before it ends up in your hands on a Monday morning or any morning. But I'm just, you know, today's Monday. And in order for that paper to be printed in New Jersey and get to you in time, that means they've got to have an earlier deadline to be able to get it printed and get it to you. So are you really getting the news at that point? Or are you getting something that's days old at that point? I guess it doesn't matter because they've been setting you up to have something that's days old for a long time. And I'm just going to say it. The joke around here is when we write a story, wait a couple days, the Standard Times will have it too. You know, they're not breaking news anymore. They've still got people that are trying. They've still got people that are doing their damnedest. But I don't think they have the infrastructure. And this is, I haven't talked to anybody over there, but it's just my observation. They don't have the infrastructure to support that. So you can have a big breaking story and you write it up and then it's going to be 4 days before somebody gets it on the website. And then when they put it on the website, they're probably going to have a typo in the headline or a headline that doesn't make sense for the story or other things. Like I keep a file of screenshots of all the times that I catch typos on that site. That's what people are paying for. 508-996-0500. Not bad. And Oak Bluff sent in a Snapchat message. It says, good morning, Tim. The Chelsea Street Bridge is the other vertical bridge I believe you're referencing. The bridge that connects East Boston to Chelsea. That bridge design is uninspiring as well. Yeah, and that's just the basic rudimentary vertical lift bridge that MassDOT is proposing for the New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge. And you can see at southcoasttoday.com, because Frank Mulligan is still out there, you know, working the beat and reporting on the things that people care about. You can read the story there and see the designs at southcoasttoday.com. And just by the way, when I came over here and I was in the news department with Jim Phillips and Taylor Cormier, like we prided ourselves on beating the Standard Times to things, having it out before them. And it was a real competition because we knew they were going to have something up very quickly. We knew they were going to have people out there covering things. We knew that it was going to be a race to see who could get it right and fast. Right being more important, correct being more important, and then fast being right behind it. And those days are gone now. Now, I don't see it as a competition anymore. I see it as a, what can we do to save them? But you can always read our stories at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app with no paywall, no subscription needed. Yeah, you're going to get some ads, but that's what makes it so that we can offer it to you for free. We'll send you those breaking news alerts on the app. And that's all brought to you thanks to our friends at South Coast Towing. I've got to take my next break here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
No, I won't be alone, be alone anymore.
And welcome back. That is Boston's own Lemonheads. And from, I believe, Come On, Feel the Lemonheads. Yeah, that's Into Your Arms. And Evan Dando, of course, still out there, still performing. So speaking of performances, I want to thank Brian for inviting me to join him and his wife yesterday afternoon at the Spire Center in Plymouth. Saw another Tequila Sunrise, the Eagles tribute band that put on a fantastic show. And I've seen the Eagles live, and I would say that another Tequila Sunrise had more energy than the actual Eagles had playing those songs. And they are just amazing musicianship. And the Spire Center is a fantastic venue. It's a former church, and the acoustics in there are incredible. It's got a balcony section and a lower section, but when you're sitting in the lower section, you're actually sitting on pews that are, you know, kind of upholstered, so they're more comfortable. And just everything, the sound, the lighting, first rate. So if you get a chance to go over there and see a show and support what it is they're doing, I think you'll enjoy it. And maybe we can work with them to promote some of their shows and get some tickets to give away, because it's a great place. There's the public parking lot right across the street. It doesn't seat a whole bunch of people. I think it seats like 200 people. So you've got a real intimate feel and just an overall fantastic experience. So I went there, and then I stopped at the Plymouth Savers, continuing my utter disgust at the prices that Savers charges for some things. $12. For a shirt that sells at Walmart for $15. Come on. But I did manage to find a few good deals. And then went over to the Oliver Estate in Middleborough for what was the final paranormal investigation there. That the town is going to put it out for bid. They're going to put out a request for proposals for people to take over that property and probably run a doctor's office out of it or something similar. And we were talking about it after the fact, like, how are they going to do that without disrupting the historical integrity of the house? And I can tell you this, the house is not happy. The spirits that are in that house, not happy. But we'll see what happens to whoever moves in there. But we plan on covering that a little bit more in depth when we have some more information from the town about the plans. And we're going to have a spooky South Coast episode on it when we come back next month. So it won't be the first couple weeks of January, because I've got some things planned, my birthday and then some other things. But we plan on coming back in probably mid to late January or early February and having a new season of Spooky South Coast, as we'll be entering year 19 of that program. Hard to believe. And the question comes, well, you only did one show in 2024. You're still going to call it year 19? Well, yeah, because the show started 19 years ago. But when you hit that magic 20 mark, maybe it's time to start hanging it up. Maybe we'll call it Spooky South Coast the final season. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, we're going to take one more break here before the end of the hour. We'll be back in a few moments.
And I've got those feelings again. I guess I'm all confused about you. I feel so in love, oh, baby. What can I do? I've been thinking about you.
And welcome back in. We've got about a minute and a half here before we go to the news, and we'll have just the ABC news for you, because Phil is still under the weather, but he'll be back with us tomorrow. He was not doing well, but he says he's doing well. So he'll be back with us tomorrow. And we will have the ABC news for you as well as your ABC 6 forecast coming up. But I can tell you right now, it's raining. The rain is coming down. So if you're getting ready to head out the door, bring an umbrella, wear your rain jacket, wear your rain boots. When I was in Savers, I noticed they had a section marked rain jackets. I was like, I guess some people still do wear a particular rain jacket. And if that's you, you're going to need it today. Because we've got literal downpours, like it's coming down hard. So if you're heading out the door, you're going to want to make sure that you have that umbrella handy. So again, we'll be back with another hour of the program. And then, of course, Chris McCarthy is back with South Coast Now.